this is Debbie Weil. I welcome you to another interview on the topic of writing, designing, publishing, or marketing a short ebook.
Mark, are you there?
I am indeed.
Oh, this is so wonderful. This is so exciting. I can't tell you how lucky we are to have Mark Levy. Mark, is it Levy? Am I saying that right?
Levy, yes. Thank you. Yeah.
Join us today because this is the perfect place to bring Mark in. Let me give you a brief introduction. Mark is a magician, really, truly, he's a magician. He's an author, he's a marketing strategist, and he's just a super smart guy who always has something unconventional coming out of his head. And learn more, please go visit his site, levyinnovation.com. And the way he describes his book, which I've commended to you all, and again, it's on the handout list today, his book, Accidental Genius, is, and this is on his site, he says, liberate yourself from status quo thinking. So let's use that really as our byword for today's Q&A. And Mark, let me set you up here with a question.
Sure.
Everyone has a big idea for a book. They have some kind of idea. Otherwise, they wouldn't have signed up for the program. And everyone is always, everyone you meet at a cocktail party has a big idea. But why is it so important to break down the idea, to find what I think you even call the most brilliant parts, and then put it back together so the idea is unique and compelling?
I have a background in publishing and in books. You know, I used to work for the executive editor of a large publishing house, and we used to get every week dozens and at times like hundreds of stacks of manuscripts. And so we'd be sitting there, and we were all the editorial assistants, you know. So we were the people doing, you know, like typing up, you know, rejection notes, things of that nature. And so you'd have to understand that. So we were in the publishers, and we had this stack of manuscripts. I'm 6'1", and I used to have a stack of manuscripts about as tall as I was. Although, to be inventive, I would kind of break it in half into 2 3-foot stacks so it wouldn't be quite so intimidating. Or if I got really creative, I'd break it into 3 2-foot stacks, and I'd feel like I was making progress, even if I hadn't done anything with any of these manuscripts. And the thing was, you had so much work to do, like not just doing the manuscript stuff, but you had all this other ancillary work you had to do, like finding permissions and all kinds of stuff, that you would just look for any reason to reject the manuscript. Now, I know that sounds very harsh, but understand if your job is on the line, you know, like this is part of your job, and you're trying to do a good job, and so everyone would be reading these manuscripts. And I'm making it seem too cold-hearted. I mean, we loved reading, and we loved writing, and we would often, you know, try to write back to people about what it is that we liked and didn't like about their books. But that said, there wasn't a – if an idea was very much a Me Too idea, it made it really easy to instantly get rid of that manuscript so that we could go on to the rest of the 6-foot pile or all the other stuff we were doing. You know what I mean? It was just it was giving us just a very good reason to move ahead with what we had to do with our day. So that was years ago that I used to do that. And now, if you take today, it's almost like all business people or all people in general, because of the internet, because of the pace of our lives, we have so many things to attend to that it really, the same aesthetic is there. It's just when I worked for the publishing house, we used to have to write up rejection letters. Now the audience doesn't write up rejection letters, although I guess sometimes they do in the form of reviews on Amazon and things. But really, instead of writing rejection letters, they just turn to the other 150 things that they have to do, you know, that you and I and everyone listening that we have to do. So they're choosing among where to spend their attention. So if you need to take your idea and you need to make your idea as compelling and as different as possible to try to get people to hang in with you, if that makes sense. Ask me more questions, Debbie.
If I said to you, Mark, can you define really quickly for us a Me Too idea, what would you say?
A Me Too idea sounds like an idea using the same language that everyone in your field uses, that you describe the idea exactly the way. I kind of hesitate to describe one because often it's going to sound like bestsellers out there, but it's going to sound people take exactly the concepts that other people are using and they write about those concepts in virtually the identical way. If you're writing about concepts in the same way that others have written about them, then you're not contributing to the field.
Yeah, that makes sense. So ideas that are not differentiated in some way.
Yeah, yeah. So, your job, I mean, maybe it's to you want to write something in order to for your business to take off, or whatever it is. But really, another way to look at what it is you're doing is that your job, you're there to contribute to the field. You're there to take an idea and forgive me, are the people on the call, they're writing fiction?
Everyone who's a beta author in the program is working on a nonfiction book. Most of them are really kind of business.
Okay,
topics.
Cool. That's what I have a lot of experience with. So you need to add a contribution to the field. You need to give people an insight that they haven't had before. You need to tell them a story that they hadn't heard before. You need to show them how to use a tone or to use a voice in your writing that they haven't considered before so that they're able to take the idea and use it in their business. So if you just write the way other people have written, then you serve no function.
Okay.
I don't want to sound cruel, but I'm just saying that you need to take the idea in a different direction. You need to contribute to it. That's your job.
All right, well, let's talk about list making for a minute, because I decided to get much tougher with this wonderful, wonderful group of beta authors and assign them actual homework of doing the list making exercise. And I've read a couple times as a PDF, and it sounds fun, but it doesn't sound that easy. So I wondered if you could give us a specific example, perhaps of a book strategy client you work with who used list making and through that discovered a whole new idea or a new set of ideas. Talk about list making a little bit.
Sure. Yeah, let me talk about list making. And before I go into any specific client, just to talk about list making in general. So what it is, list making allows people to see a subject. They tend to know a lot more about a subject than they think they know. And not only do they know a lot more about a subject than they think they know, but they have a lot of information in their heads and a lot of interesting stories and things that they can draw upon. Even if those things don't seem directly related to the subject at hand, they could, in fact, be applied to the subject at hand. In other words, a story that in your mind you have classified under one topic could perhaps be used about the subject that you're writing about, right? Makes sense? So you don't know. You don't know everything that you know, and you can actually take some of the things that you know and apply them in ways that you hadn't expected. Like, so you need to create room for all kinds of surprises and all kinds of unexpected things. And that's what list making allows you to do. It allows you to look at an idea from 15 or 17 different approaches, 17 different lenses, different pairs of glasses that you put on, and that it invites you, it courts you, it forces you into surprise. So with list making, when someone is going to write about a topic, I say, okay, great, there's your topic. Why don't we make a list? First, let's make a list of lists. Let's make a single list, and let's brainstorm every possible list that you might be able to write or make about your topic. So it would be things like, and I talk about this in my ebook, things like the best advice you've ever heard on that topic and the worst advice you've ever heard on the topic and maybe the best advice you've ever given people on the topic and the worst advice you've ever given people on the topic and resources that people generally need to create this and prejudices that you have about it. Just all these different lists. You make lists that you take this one list and you fill out as many possible lists as you could make about the topic. And then you go and you pick 5 or 10 or 15 of these lists that from this one master list, and you make these sub-lists about them, right? You write them out each on their own page, you know, best advice I've ever heard on this topic, and then you just fill out all the advice that you've heard on that topic, and you move on to another list, or you jump back from list to list, you know, filling out these things as you go, and now you have these 5 or 10 or 15 different lists that each look at your topic from a different perspective. And you take a yellow legal pad and a pen, and you look from list to list and item to item, and human beings are natural meaning-making machines. We can't help but to look at something and make meaning from it. So from moving these lists around and filling these lists out and looking from item to item and list to list, we start to see gaps in our thinking. We start to see associations among items. We start asking ourselves questions. We start remembering stories. We start having epiphanies. We have all these ideas. We start to write these things down, like on our yellow legal pad as we're looking from list to list and item to item. You ask yourself questions like, what is it that I'm seeing here on these lists? Like, what are some thoughts that I'm seeing here? You know, what's all this adding up to? What am I seeing here that's new? What am I seeing here that works? What am I seeing here that doesn't work? What am I seeing here? What do I remember that now from looking at all these lists that I didn't remember when I was filling out these lists? Now, so all this stuff, Debbie, and everyone listening to this, none of this stuff is done through some arduous process. It's just you taking your raw thinking and putting into lists and moving the lists around. And it's like what Edward Tufte from Yale said when he said the act of arranging information becomes an act of insight. So just by getting the information out of your head and putting it onto paper in a bunch of different ways and moving that stuff around and asking yourself about what it is that you see, you start coming up with insight just from doing it. It's almost an automatic thing. You don't have to, it's not, again, some difficult process that you have to force yourself to do. And so from that, you come up with new themes for your book, new stories you could use for your book, new facts, things of that nature, right? Make sense?
Excuse me. This is terrible. Yes, it does. Totally.
You're coughing, so I'll continue to talk since you're coughing, and then I'll stop.
I'm done.
Okay,
so,
go ahead.
I'm not done, but with the topic, what I loved is sort of this physical tactile thing. You talked about laying, you know, your legal pad, laying these pieces of paper, or it could be huge stickies or whatever it is, laying them out on the dining room table and literally kind of standing up and walking around. That is what you mean, right?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, that's exactly, it's very low tech. I do often make out the lists on my computer and I print them out and then I'll also handwrite into the lists after, but it's very much because it's basically you want to take an inventory of all the models in your head around the subject that you're looking at, or all the facts, or all the stories, or all the prejudices, or all the ideas, or all like all the advice, just all this stuff. You just want to get it out of your head. You won't get everything out, obviously, because you have many years of experience behind this stuff, but you just want to kind of do a brain dump in a bunch of different kind of lists, and then literally it's separate pieces of paper. So it's like, here's all my prejudices on the subject. And you look at that. That's on one sheet of paper. And, you know, here's stories that come to mind when I think about the subject. That's on another list of paper. And so you have all these lists there, and you just start looking from list to list and item to item. And you're putting stuff together. Not only did you get stuff out of your head that you might not have realized was there, but you start combining things by looking at them, you know, in different patterns. You start combining things in ways that you hadn't thought about before, and you start creating new ideas from that, right? Like the stuff just starts to flow. And very often people will do this. This is not how I originally created the technique. This kind of just happened this way. People will often get together with other people and create lists together.
Yeah.
So less so when they're writing a book, more when I do this. Sometimes I teach brainstorming in organizations. So they always do this when we're doing brainstorming in organizations. But you could do it with a book. And so what they do is they get together with other people, and they decide on what lists they're going to create, and people start writing down ideas on these lists. And now, of course, you're not going to know, because people are writing things down in a truncated way. You know, they're writing things down in shorthand. So you won't really know, if you just step back and look at all the lists, you won't know what everyone meant by what it is they said. So you need to create a time where people kind of narrate their way through the lists. It's like, okay, let's talk about the prejudice list. So the first thing I wrote was so-and-so, and then I wrote about, you know, this, and then I wrote about that, and let's talk about that idea that I just wrote there. Okay, and now, Jane, I see you wrote something here. I don't quite get what you meant there. Tell us about what that means. You know what I mean? So it almost becomes a starting point for a conversation.
Mark, well, let me ask you maybe an obvious question, but do you find typically, say we're doing this again for a book and sort of focusing a book idea, is it typical for people to end up with a slightly different idea or a modification of the idea after they go through this process?
Oh, yeah. Well, you're thinking, when you're writing, you're thinking should always change. The writing that you do should always change your thinking. If what you end up writing is just what you had at the top of your mind, you're probably not using writing to its fullest extent, because writing itself generates thought. Right? Yes. That's a quote that I have that opens up Accidental Genius by a woman. I think her name's Chase. I forget. I don't have it in front of me. But it's the idea of writing generates thought. So when you don't know what to write, start writing. So it's the same way. It's writing in regular prose, but it's also in writing and creation of these lists. So you until you start cleaning up your work when you start rewriting it, when you start editing it, when you do all that stuff, that's a different part of your mind. But when you're producing the ideas, when you're producing the prose for your book, you always want things changing over and over again. You always want to be trying new stories, new ideas, new ways of saying things. I break the writing process, as does many people, I break the writing process up into two parts. There's getting the ideas and the prose out of your head. That's one part. And there's saying things in the best way possible. That's the second part. They do not go together. One part is idea production. Even if you're writing full sentences and full paragraphs and things like that, that part is still idea production. And then when you have everything out of your head that you needed to down on paper, then you start saying things in the best way possible. You start cleaning things up, right? Make sense?
Yeah. And that's interesting because I don't know what, when you came on the call, but I just went through a similar but divided into six steps process for writing where there's just huge, and it's just, I don't know if you know this guy, his name is Jack Hart. He's a former managing editor of the Portland Oregonian.
Yeah.
And he puts a huge amount of attention on the first three steps, which is basically thinking, and then looking at your idea from different perspectives and finding a focus. But this is a perfect place for you to go into free writing, and maybe really for those listening, and for the beta authors, how the free writing would fit in with getting the book started. And maybe free writing from the list, or just talk. I think some people you've now totally persuaded me that free writing is, I can't imagine writing without free writing.
Right.
But I think for some people it sounds pretty weird, as in sit down at the keyboard and just start typing for 15 minutes and don't worry about where you started, what it says. So you talk about free writing, which again really is the focus of your book, but it's completely intriguing and liberating.
Sure. Well, what free writing is technically, to explain the methodology. Years ago, it used to be called spontaneous writing. It's gone by a lot of different names. Yeats, the poet, used free writing. He actually thought God was speaking to him while he was free writing. He would get into this reverie, and he thought he was taking dictation from God. And he got so wrapped up in the free writing that he would actually write half his poem in his book that he was writing and a half on the table, because he just was just not focusing. He was just focusing on this connection with the ideas. And so what free writing is, I don't know where the term free writing came from, but I look at it as freedom from the normal rules of writing. The normal rules of writing say that your punctuation needs to be right, your grammar needs to be right, your spelling needs to be right. In free writing, none of those things need to be. The normal rules of writing say that you're writing to communicate with others. In free writing, you're writing to communicate for yourself predominantly and to yourself. Normal writing says that what you write needs to be interesting, that you have to stay on track, that just all these very logical rules and other-centric rules for other people so that other people can understand it. Your writing needs to be interesting. It needs to begin with a punch. It needs to end with a summing up. There's all these rules. With free writing, it's none of those things. Free writing is a means of watching yourself think. That's all it is. So free writing, you take your timer. And I either use my timer on my iPhone, and I set my timer, I set it for 10 minutes, or I go online and I'll use a website like online-stopwatch.com. I use one of those things, and I'll set it for, let's say, 10 minutes, and I'll open up an empty Word document. And you can do it by hand, but I write so much that I always use the computer. So I open up an empty Word document, and I hit go on my timer, and it starts counting down, and I just start doing a brain dump from wherever I am. I don't wait for any perfect thought to appear. The moment I hit go on my timer, I just start writing. And I'll start writing about the subject at hand. You know, I'll tell myself a story. I do a lot of talking to myself during the writing. In other words, I do a lot of coaching to myself during writing. I do a lot of cursing. I do a lot of things that won't necessarily appear in the book that I'm writing or in the article I'm writing or the post I'm writing. So for instance, maybe I want to write about positioning, right? I'm a positioning consultant. So if I were to hit my timer for 10 minutes and I'd start to go, you know, hit go, I'd start writing, and my writing might sound something like this. Okay, Levy, you need to write about positioning. Well, you're a positioning consultant, so you probably know a lot about positioning. Let's see. First, what's your definition of positioning? Well, when other people say positioning, they mean blah, 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 you know, and I'll write that. But when I mean positioning, I mean it like this, blah, 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 blah. And the reason why people need to use positioning is for these reasons, blank and blank and blank and blank. And when's the first time I ever saw positioning? Where did I ever first see that concept? Oh, yeah, I remember. I used to work at Bookazine. And when I was at Bookazine, I'll start talking to myself about that story. And then I'll talk maybe about a client that I was doing positioning work with. You know, at the end of the 10 minutes, my alarm goes off, and now I stopped. And that's the finish of one bout or one session of free writing. I, though, then continue on, and I do something kind of different. I look over what I just free wrote for 10 minutes, and if there's interesting lines, I underline those interesting lines. And if there's particularly really good ideas, and occasionally there are, I boldface those ideas. And the reason being is if I hit save now, I don't want to go through a lot of free writing. There's a lot of garbage in it. You know, a lot of the stuff you're going to write is going to be off track. You're going to meander. You're going to be writing about things that aren't on point, because what you're doing is you're writing very, very quickly and continuously for the 10 minutes without stopping, right? You're writing a little faster than you normally do. As Ray Bradbury says, in quickness there is truth. That when you write slowly, when you write in a labored way, you tend to go back to the same thoughts you have over and over again. So when I do free writing, I tend to try to literally type faster than I normally do, so I lose a little control. I want to lose control of the ways that I normally tend to think. And so when you do that, you will start to meander in your writing. You'll start to say some sentences that aren't fully formed, things like that. So when you read over what it is that you've been writing, since you've lost a bit of control of your normal ways of thinking, a lot of it will be garbage, right? A lot of it will be nonsense sentences. You'll be writing about a TV show that you watched last night when you should be writing your thing about positioning, all this kind of stuff. None of that stuff's wrong. It's just I don't need to read it again. So when I hit save, I now have some underlined stuff and some boldface stuff, some stuff I want to see again. But I look over what I just wrote, and I want to do a new bout of 10 minutes of free writing. And I say to myself, what is a brand new direction that I can go into, right? Because I want to force myself to write something different. It's like what Ezra Pound, the poet, said when he wrote Make It New, Make It New. In other words, you want to force yourself in a new direction. And the best way to do that, to me, is to start the writing from a new direction. So I will look over what I just wrote, and I'll say to myself, what's a direction that I haven't been in this first bout of free writing? Like, what's a new direction I could take? Is there a story that I should have said that I didn't say? Is there, like, do I have clarity on something here that I didn't have when I wrote this first session of 10 minutes? Do I have new clarity about something? What would that clarity be? Do I now know that something's wrong based on writing this first 10 minutes? You know what I mean? And what is that thing that I know is wrong? Whatever it is there an idea here that I want to continue writing on that I didn't fully exploit in this first session? So whatever it is, I have a new starting point for a second bout of 10 minutes of free writing. So I hit go again for 10 minutes. You know, I skip a couple of lines over the first session of free writing, and I start writing again, starting from that new idea, right? And I don't have to stay with that idea. All I do is I have to begin with that idea. And I start writing, talking in this example about positioning and more about my clients and what is this thing going to be that I'm creating. Maybe I'm writing a white paper about positioning and what is the most valuable information I have to tell people about positioning and what is my substantiation of my points and, you know, what, you know, just wherever my mind goes with it. At the end of 10 minutes, my alarm goes off again, and now I stop, and I do the exact same thing. I underline interesting prose, and I boldface new prose, and I want to go in a brand new direction again. I want to do a third bout of free writing. So I look over the second bout, and I say, where can I go? You know, I don't want to repeat myself, so where can I go that's new in the third bout? And by the way, sometimes I do this writing for 10 minutes, stopping, looking it over, picking a new direction, writing for 10 minutes, stopping, looking it over, picking a new direction. Sometimes I'll do this for hours and hours, and often during it I will run out of things to say, not as quickly as you might think, but I will run out of stories to tell and ideas to tell. And when I do that, I will often, I write about this in my book, Accidental Genius. There's a chapter called Learn to Love Lying. So I will actually create, I want to do another bout of free writing, but I will lie to myself during this bout of free writing just to get movement in my thinking. Because often when people approach their subject, they often think that they've reached the limits to how they can think about the subject. You know, like, oh my God, I've told all the stories I could tell about this. I've had all the ideas I could, but I'm not fully there yet. I'm not really where I need to be. So when I get to that kind of situation, let's say I'm writing about positioning a consulting firm, and the consulting firm charges $300 an hour, right? Just making this up. So my lying might be just to get movement in my thinking, just to go to a new place. I'll say, you know what, I'm going to do another free writing, and I'm going to pretend that the consulting firm charges $3,000 an hour, not $300 an hour. And so now I begin a new bout of free writing from that starting point. I'll say, okay, company X charges $300 an hour to consult, but I'm going to pretend they charge $3,000 an hour to consult. If they charge $3,000 an hour to consult, what would be different about their practice? What is it they'd be selling? Who are the clients who they'd be selling that to? What are the things they'd be telling that client in order to get, that would make the client sign up? What pieces of philosophy from their old lives could they bring along? What pieces of philosophy would they have to jettison, you know, that wouldn't be part of the $3,000 gig? What would have to change? What would stay the same? What products would they sell? What services would they sell? You know, what would people's objections be to the $3,000? How would the $3,000 an hour help, you know, my company, like, you know, in doing their work? So I just, all this stuff is fiction. I'm writing, but at the end of it, again, sometimes you come up with some ideas. You've gone to such a different place in your mind that sometimes through looking at fantasy, it gives you an idea on how to come up with something that can then be applied to reality.
Yeah.
You know,
well,
I can't.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Well, I wanted to break in. That is. It's completely fascinating. Could you talk briefly, because then we'll take a few questions here, on how, what the relationship is between the free writing process, and I'm fascinated you can do it for hours because that's a lot of writing.
Oh, yeah.
Where does free writing end, and where does writing a draft begin, or what is the relationship between them? Again, just in a very practical terms for those things.
So I'll tell you, again, in Accidental Genius, I believe the last chapter, I interview a brilliant consultant from Seattle named Jeff Bellman. He's absolutely brilliant. He wrote a book called The Consultant's Calling. He wrote a bunch of books on teams, organizations, things like that. So Jeff is very thoughtful in his writing. Like, you can always see the way his mind works when in his writing. He tells the story of his thinking in his writing, so that when he comes up with an idea in his writing, you can see how he fought in order to come up with that idea. That he doesn't just present you some idea, you see what his process was that allowed him to arrive at that idea. So it's really fascinating. And so I interviewed Jeff for the second edition of Accidental Genius. And I said, Jeff, how do you go about, because he's written a number of books as I have. I said, how do you go about using, because he uses related topics to free writing and things like that in order to create his books. If not free writing exactly, he does a lot of thinking through his writing. So he said, here's exactly what I do. He said, for about 6 weeks, I'll sit there and every day I will write 4 pages about a subject, that all the same subject. Like, let's say he thinks, you know what, I want to write a book about influencing in organizations, like how to influence your work teams and things in organizations. Like, that seems like a book I want to write. So for every day he will sit there and he'll write 4 pages. And once he has 4 pages, he quits. He doesn't go any further than that. He writes for 4 pages. And he'll do that for, let's say, 4 or 6 weeks. And he does that until he has, I don't know, I forget what he said exactly, like 100 or 150 pages. You know, but this is fast and loose writing. This is not arduous writing. This is a lot of the writing is very enjoyable, you know, sitting there. It's meditative. He's coming up with these ideas.
But
so
really,
sort of like free writing? Yeah, well, then I'll get into how I use this idea. But, right, you could substitute what I'm saying with Jeff's writing. You could substitute the idea of free writing. So it could be you free write for 4 pages every day for, let's say, 6 days, or, pardon me, 6 weeks or 4 weeks, whatever it is. And so with Jeff's thing is at the end of his 4 to 6 weeks, he takes his 150 pages and he looks it over and he says, is there anything here that's worth saving? Like, do I actually have anything original and interesting to say on this topic? And by looking that stuff over, if he does, he continues on and writes the book. If he doesn't, he throws it out. Or, you know, he might save it to his computer or something like that, but he just goes on to something else. Like, he gives himself 4 to 6 weeks in order to think through the subject. With free writing, what I will often do, I actually do a similar thing, then I'll take what it is that I want to write about and I'll do free writing about it over the course of a few days. I then take all my free writing and I put it all together in one document. And the stuff, the stuff that doesn't work, you know, I do a save as, so I now have like a duplicate document. I do a save as and I strip out the stuff that isn't working, you know, the stuff that's off point. You know, the stuff that's just, you know, me babbling, which trust me, I do quite a bit, as you can tell. So it's like me babbling into the document. I cut all that stuff out, and now all that I'm left with is interesting prose and interesting stories and interesting ideas. And now I take that all, and I arrange it in a provisional order. I say to myself, okay, so if this is a blog post, it would be in this order. If it was a book, it would be in this order. Whatever it is, I kind of put that stuff into order, and then I step back and I look at it, and I say, okay, is this serving the purpose that it needs to serve? And if it is, I then take that raw writing that's now in that order, and I clean it up. So I edit stuff so that it sounds better. I write transitions between parts that had no transition. I say, oh, yeah, there's a whole piece here missing. Like I go from idea B to idea E, so I'm missing the ideas in between here, and those are like, idea C and D. And so I'll write idea C and D, I'll write about those, and then I'll stick them in the document. And then, right, makes sense? So I then clean that whole thing up, and that becomes my book, or that becomes my essay, or that becomes my white paper, or that becomes my blog post.
Yeah.
I do a lot of free writing. Then I cut out what's not working. I rearrange the pieces, and I write in the transitions and the stuff that's not there that needs to be there, and then I just clean it up. And that's the stuff that you read on my site. That's the stuff that you read in my books. That's the stuff you've seen. If you've read anything I've written in newspapers or things, that's exactly how I go about doing it. I use free writing. Anything that you see, all my public writing was generated through free writing, or virtually all my public writing was generated through free writing.
Mark, let me jump in and see. I'm going to unmute everybody and see if they have questions, and just say that you just blow me away the way you talk about that, because you make it sound doable. I mean, it just sounds like okay. Let's see if we have any questions, because we have about a couple people on the line here. I've unmuted everyone, so if you have a barking dog, that's not going to work. I don't hear any barking dogs. Somebody, you're all unmuted here, so don't be shy. I know someone has a question for Mark, so jump in.
Yeah. Okay, Mark, this is Maisie, and my question is, I like the free writing. I've been doing it, but should you just keep doing it? If I'm sitting down one day and I'm really having a good time doing it, just keep going and going and going, or is there a point where you say you've done it for so many hours, maybe you ought to take a rest?
Interesting question, Maisie. Thank you. I would say that free writing works its best when you get tired. So, and this isn't necessarily my invention. I think Peter Elbo said this. It's the idea of when you're all chipper and your thinking is very sound, you're going to probably use the same ideas. And they may be good ideas, but you're going to be relying on the same polished ideas that have been publicly accepted over and over again. The stuff that makes Maisie look really smart and really intelligent and really confident and really consistent to other people, so that when Maisie says something, people go, oh, yeah, that sounds like something Maisie would say, right? You know what I mean? Your signature thoughts, the things that you say and write over and over again. So when you're all chipper doing your free writing, you tend to your brain's going to give you those pre-digested pieces of reality over and over again. And when you start to get tired, then and you start to run out of things to say, and you have to start reaching, and stuff starts to get really kind of awkward and edgy, and you start, doing that kind of stuff, that's when your normal ways of thinking start to break down, and you start coming up with new thoughts for you. And a lot of your new thoughts will be really awful, but some of your new thoughts will be, I believe, a quantum leap ahead of the other thoughts that you currently have. So that's my long-winded answer. Does that make sense, Maisie?
Yes, it does.
Yeah.
Great. Let's take another. We have a few more minutes here. Another question. Somebody.
I heard a gentleman. Come on, sir. Voice that.
This is Tom. The was not sure of the question. When you started the free writing, I mean, it sounds, for somebody structured like myself, it sounds like sort of this kind of this stream of consciousness kind of, you go like, well, why make this investment? Because it's just rambling, like, what did you call it? Something, I can't find the word, but spontaneous writing, I guess.
Oh, yeah, spontaneous writing.
I think it's a trust thing, you know, the reluctance or whatever you want. It's going to wind up being something valuable.
Yeah, that's a great, yeah, Mark, I really, I like that. Maybe we'll make that the last question, but that's a great question, because I think a lot of people have that question. You know, how is this really going to contribute to me writing a short book?
Right, right. So thank
but
you
I think
for
you've
that
convinced
promise.
Me, but I think there are people like Tom who think, well, you know, I don't know, that just could be a waste of time. And Tom, and your question was, I think you said something about, you know, really what's, do you really want to just let yourself go?
I really
like
I guess it was more of kind of a, you know, a reaction to. I mean, I like having a methodology to do something. But I think it's just trusting this. It is. I mean, it's writing is creative. I think it is just trusting your own creativity, isn't it? I mean, I guess I was curious about when you started this. You know, did you endorse it or did you just kind of find it?
Yeah, no, great question. So the way I came to free writing was I had to write I'm trying to remember the exact story. It was so long ago. I've been free writing, I don't know, like 15 or 20 years. And I think it was I had to write an article. Was it for – oh, yes, yes, now I remember. I had to it was 15 or 20 years ago, and my favorite rock and roll guy, Paul Weller, was coming to America. He was a British performer who never, ever came to America. And a friend of mine who ran an entertainment newspaper said, Mark, I know you love Paul Weller. He's coming to do a concert in New York, and you can cover the concert, but you have to write the review. And so I didn't know if I'd ever get to see Paul Weller again, so I said, yeah, I'll take the tickets and I'll review it. But I hadn't written in so many years that I was really scared that, and this is the point, Tom, this is the key point, I was really scared if I still knew how to write and I could still write. And how do you write about music? You know, do you say the bass drum went ba-dum, ba-dum, ba-dum? Like, I didn't even know the conventions of how to write about it, but I didn't want to let this Paul Weller thing go. So I took a book off my shelf that I always had there, but I had never read. It was called Writing with Power by Peter Elbow. And in it, I knew that he talked about this concept of free writing, about this, you know, like freedom from the normal rules of writing. And I read it out of desperation because I just didn't know what else to do. And what I found was a couple of things. One is free writing is the best tool I know to approach writing when you're scared of approaching a subject because you don't know about the subject or you're not confident about the subject. And all free writing does is the idea you talk about trust is if you sit there for enough 10-minute sessions and you write as quickly as you possibly can and you promise that you will not stop at all for the 10 minutes, right, even if you have to digress, if you put in enough 10-minute sessions, you will, at the end of it, have writing that you can use, right? That's the thing that I learned from doing that, that no single session or two or three necessarily gave me what I needed, but I just learned if I sat there and I kept on writing for enough of these sessions, I would end up with, right? So it was wasteful. The process seems wasteful, but in many ways it's very, very, it's not waste, it's very efficient because you may not reach that point any other way. So it's more like saying, yep, I'm just going to sit here and write for 10 minutes at a time until I get what I need. And that might take me a day of these sessions or that might take me a month of these sessions. But at the end, I'll have what I need. So,
Mark,
right,
that, you know, we are literally at the top of the hour. That is, thank you so much. I think we all thank you. I've had to put people back on mute here.
Yes.
That was both inspirational and hugely tactical, and I think that's exactly what we need at this point in terms of plotting out the steps to write a short book. And I just can't thank you enough. I know everyone joins me in saying thank you to Mark Levy. Check out best-selling author, magician. I love that.
Right.
Positioning consultant, LevyInnovation.com, and hopefully till next time. Mark, thank you so much for joining us.
Yeah. Well, thank you, Debbie. And thanks so much for everyone for listening.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thanks.